House will come to order. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Flickery.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Botten.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Childers excused. Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Freeman. Gay.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles excused. Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Illaway.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparik.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Lubnow.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
McComey.
Here.
Miller excused. Moniz.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Peasley.
Here.
Peterson. Peterson.
Here.
Petroff. Korberg.
Here.
Reeder.
Here.
Roscoe.
Here.
Simlick.
Here.
Stewart.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Teeters.
Here.
Throne.
Here.
Vronish.
Here.
Wallace.
Here.
Swanitzer Dan.
Here.
Swanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
57 present, 3 excused.
Please stand and join in the morning prayer with our very own Representative Kraft.
Thank you all. Would you pray with me? As our days together come to a close, send us out in the power of your Spirit to stand with you in your world. I would pray that our lives may never be without your light, nor our wills without your strength, nor our hearts without the warmth of your love. Hold us, enfold us, uphold us in your loving care. Give us eyes to see clearly, ears to discern truth from error, minds to understand, voices to speak with courage and conviction, and hearts filled with compassion as we move forward united in our journey of service. Grant us safe travel, O God, as we return to our communities on the prairie, by rivers and streams, on mountaintops, and in their shadow in the valley. We pray for those whom we love, and those whose lives are closely linked with ours. And we pray that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will come upon us and remain with us now and throughout all the days of our lives. We pray all this in your most holy name. Amen.
are at that order of business. Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of March 5th, 2012 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Kasparek, Representative Freeman.
Messages from the Senate.
Message 226. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bills as below by the vote indicated. House Bill 82, Public Assistance Drug Testing. Ayes 13, no 17. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Message 229. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 116, Impact Assistance to Local Governments. Ayes 12, noes 18. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Message 230. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 67, Real Estate Brokers and Sales Agents, Opinions on Value. Ayes 23, no 7. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
And today our doctor of the day is Doug Parks from Cheyenne. And the nurse of the day, nurses of the day, Kim Glasscock and Rhiannon Sterligson from Castle Rock Hospital District. But I'm not sure if they're, I saw them earlier, but I don't know if they're here now. So maybe when they come back, we'll. Now I would like you to direct your attention to the North Gallery, where our 2012 House clerical assistants are sitting, and as I read their name, I'd like them to stand, and if you'll hold your applause until the end. These folks are the ones who come in bright and early every morning to prepare and file and organize our paperwork so that we all look good down here, because without them, we wouldn't look very good. So, Sally Allen, Pat Camillo, Barb Costa, Lynn Davis, Shirley Dickman, Janet Forsman, Robert Jansen, Karen Lippincott, Yvonne Quintal, Charlene Randolph, Gwen Vines, and Supervisor Peggy Smithson. Thank you all so much for all you do. I very sincerely tell you that if it weren't for you, we would all look pretty foolish down here on the floor. So thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Yes, ma'am.
Folks, could you join me in welcoming UW's Leadership 2012 class? They're in the balcony.
Welcome to the House. Representative Freeman.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
My left, in the gallery, we have Allison and Olivia Bamer, who are here on a civics lesson. They're trying to teach their mother, sitting next to them, Tina, how the House works. So I would wish I hope you wish them a happy house weapon.
Welcome to the house. We are at that order of business, bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 2.
Senate File 2, introduced by the Management Council, an act relating to appropriations for the legislature.
And Senate File 2 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 26.
Senate File 26, introduced by the Judiciary, an act relating to district court judge increase.
And Senate File 26, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 38.
Senate File 38, introduced by the Management Council, an act relating to revision of inadvertent errors, the Revisor's Bill.
And Senate File 38, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 43.
Senate File 43, introduced by the Tribal Committee, an act relating to state parks and cultural resources, state parks acquisition of lands.
And Senate File 43, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 59.
Senate File 59, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act relating to public employee retirement plans.
Chairman Nilloway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 59. We discussed this bill at length yesterday, and I indicated that we'd probably come back with a second reading amendment, and you have it in front of you. It looks daunting, but it's not. We've changed a few things, and if you'll allow me, I'll just go through it quickly. On page 1, we've changed under an act relating to public employee retirement plans, we've changed some wording in there. We've taken the word eliminating out. We've said modifying. We've deleted the words providing findings. We've gone through then down to on page 111 through 17. And after checking with staff and my recollection, we have deleted all pages of the findings. About 80%+ of the time, we do not put findings in statutes. It may be, in some cases we have, but over 80% of the time we don't put findings in statutes, and so we eliminated that. On page 16, I have to kind of follow through, although I did follow through with what staff wrote. We get down to page 14. We've eliminated lines 11 through 13. And page 14, we've changed C to B. Page 15, we've eliminated again the wording. What we've really done is we have changed the wording so that all of the retirement benefit adjustments fall in the next several pages, and all the wording is the same. So 9-3-419 on page 1 talks about retirement benefits, and let me read you the new wording. It says, an increase under this subsection shall not be determined to be actuarially sound if the plan has not achieved an actuarial funded ratio of at least 100% at the time the increase would be implemented, or if the plan would not maintain that minimum ratio if the increase is provided. And that is found in every section that is cited. 9-3-419, retirement benefit adjustments, law enforcement officers, 93610, amount of benefit adjustments on 93707, 155416, adjustment of benefits. It's the same wording. Why did we do this? Well, I have been counseled by the folks on the other end of the building. They probably are not going to like this amendment, but I do. And I think the important thing is that what we've done at the end of this bill is we have allowed and asked for Section 4, page 16, we've asked for the Joint Appropriations Interim Committee shall study cost efficiencies of the following. I think the important thing to note is that we have taken the COLAs down and said, if it's actuarially fine, and it probably won't be for some time, but at least at 100%. I think 120% is too high. I think 140% was too high. I think it's important that we take a look at, before we just make some blanket statements, I think it needs to be studied. The best thing that's come along with this particular legislature is Senate File 97, which we're going to be able to talk about on third reading, because it's a new way of looking at the retirement system. But we're talking about Senate File 59. I think we need to keep the COLA authority with the retirement board. We've hired some top-notch folks that run the retirement system. As a matter of fact, their salaries all combined are well over $1 million. We have, I think it's 12 people on the retirement board that are appointed by the governor. Those people don't want to see this fund go broke. Nobody wants to see this fund go broke. But let's not micromanage the system when it's not broken. I think that the way Senate File 59 is written, it eliminates the retirement board's authority to award COLAs and gives that authority to the legislature. The retirement board and system staff have the necessary expertise and have successfully managed Wyoming's pension plan funds for years. They are not going to allow this fund to have a problem. We've talked about COLAs, and it's now time that we go ahead and look at the funding and allow an adequate study to be done, and that's why Section 4 was not eliminated in this bill. So I hope that you will vote for the amendment, and I will await any further questions.
Representative Wallace, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would strongly encourage the body to resist this amendment. I'm going to tell you why those findings are so very, very important. I want you to pull out the sheet that we all got yesterday that talked about the history of COLAs and how we, the position that we're in today and what's really going on with this. On the second page, or On the page that says History of COLA Awards by Plan, you'll see that back in 91, we started giving 1% COLAs, and then in the late 90s, we started ratcheting that up, 2%, 2.5%, 3%. Then in the 2004, we started scaling that back, 2.16, 2006, 1.05, 2008 was the last COLA, 1.03. Remember what was going on in 2008 with the broader economy. But more importantly, when you flip to the next page, which is the Wyoming Retirement System funding ratio, you will see that back in the late 90s, we had funding ratios 100, 106%, 114%, and then about 2002, it just started banging down. And it steadily and relentlessly has diminished 92, went up to 96, 95, 94, 79% in 2009, 87, sits at 85% today, except for 2009, the very lowest funding ratio this retirement system has ever seen. And remember that the legislature and the Joint Appropriations Committee, along with the Retirement Board, made every one of those decisions. They made those decisions based on actuarial studies at that time that said COLAs were a prudent thing for the state of Wyoming to consider. When they were asked, the actuaries asked, how is it that we based all of these decisions based on studies, and yet we have seen a continual ratcheting down of this whole system? And they said a couple of things. One of the things they said was, you're asking the wrong questions. And the other thing they said is that from an actuarial standpoint, as long as you're above 80%, it's okay with us. Well, 80% might be okay for New York, but it's not okay for Wyoming, not in my opinion. So back to the issue of you're asking the wrong questions. So when you go back to them and you say, okay, what are the right questions? And that's where we get into a problem of institutional memory. How do we, the JAC has spent a couple of years now and dedicated quite a few of our meetings and an inordinate amount of our time just to studying this whole retirement issue. But we may all be gone next year. Some of us may be back. Some of us may be reappointed to Joint Appropriations. Maybe not. Could be all new people sitting in those seats trying to make these decisions based on questions that they don't know how to ask, because there's nothing in the session laws, in the history, that tells them, here is how this particular 64th legislature came to this conclusion. That's what those findings are all about. And if we take those out, we, in my opinion, have wasted a great deal of the time and effort and wisdom of not only the members of the committee, but the board itself and the retirees and of the consultants and the actuaries that have helped us figure this out. And this is a way that we can leave behind some sense of how we came to these decisions and what they need to consider before they decide whether or not to provide a COLA and whether or not that is prudent in the long run, and how much either the system itself needs to provide in order to make that a prudent decision, or how much the employees themselves need to contribute in extra amounts. That's why this is so important. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For your first time, Representative Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of this amendment. I agree with the good representative from Cheyenne. I've spoken with some of these board members, and I know they're working on this problem, and they're working hard on it. I believe that we need to give the board the chance they deserve to make things made better. And I think this is micromanaging at its best. The speaker before me just made a good point when she said there could be a whole new group of people here next year with no idea of how we came to this conclusion. While on the board, they are the experts, they've been there, they know the whole thing's inside and out, and they are willing to make the changes needed. And I rise in support of this bill. Thank you.
Representative Harshman, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to draw everybody's attention to the Standing Committee Amendment in Appropriations, and it's on line 13, or page 13, I should say, line 8. It's a new paragraph, but if you look at the entirety on page 12 and 13, starting on line 10 on page 12, it talks about these conditions that should be met for a COLA to be granted by the legislature. Now, if I back up a minute on line 7, it's not 120%. First of all, the Standing Committee Amendment in our House made it 105%. Okay, that's the first thing. But the second part then, if you go through those considerations beginning on line 10 on page 12, A, B, C, D, a review of the assumptions, and then over to page 13, E, recognition of potential effects, and then F, potential isolation, establishment of separate counts, and so on. Then there's a new paragraph that gets inserted, Romanet 15. And it says, provided the requirements are met, the Wyoming Retirement Board may recommend to the governor and the legislature the approval of the cost of living adjustment for any plan administered by the board. So we put that in there that they're still in the loop. We're going to rely on their recommendations. The key part is, who's responsible when a mistake is made? Well, I don't think the board's responsible. We tried passing that statute a few years ago. Who's responsible? And so, you know, first of all, the problem with these bills right now is really we have the far ends of the political spectrum. Some folks say, don't touch it, hands off, let them do it, it's going to be fine, it's perfect, leave it alone. And the other half says, why do public employees have this anyway? Should have a defined contribution plan like everybody else. And I'll just tell you, somewhere in the middle, I think reality lies. And I think if you care about, and I don't mean that as an offense to anybody on those far ends, I respect those viewpoints, but in my mind, I think in looking at this plan, first of all, Wyoming has a very austere plan. I think the average benefit is $16,000 a year. The question is, do you want this plan to be here forever? And I tell you, if you don't pass this bill, I mean, it's not going to happen today, and it won't happen next year. This bill and the next one on third reading are key tools to make sure that this plan stays solvent. It was solvent, as the speaker from Campbell County showed you, how it's gone down, down, down. We take these steps now so this contingent liability doesn't someday become a real liability for the taxpayers of our state. We have a lot of things going for us in this plan. First of all, the fund, $4 billion plus, is constitutionally protected. You know, many states, lawmakers dip into it and leave an IOU, just like they have with our Social Security on the federal level. Well, we can't do that in Wyoming. There's over $4 billion sitting in there. And it would be a shame that our inaction would allow this plan to weaken, and then 5-10 years from now, somebody has to say, hey, we got to jettison this. Because we can fix it. We can fix it today in this House. And so, you know, I'm a member. I've paid into this for 21 years now. Probably not going to affect me. I mean, I'll be one of them guys, if we decide not to do anything and the system gets changed, I'll be one of those liabilities to the state. Have to be paid out. We'll have to operate two systems. And none of us want to be on this floor when that day happens. Then you're going to make some real tough choices. Today, this, I think, is an easy choice. And you put it back in the hands of the folks who represent the people. So the people really don't, our citizens don't have to be liable for this. There's no reason for it. We can fix it. And so I strongly encourage you to vote no on the amendment and then support this bill to the finish line. So appreciate your no vote on the amendment for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Madden, for your first time.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to kind of boil this down for the members of the body here. We got really three broad sections to it. One issue deals with the 100%, and we talked about that at Committee of the Whole yesterday, and that, you know, 100% seems to be a magic number for this kind of thing, because that means that you can actuarially pay your bills when these accrued liabilities come into play. The other thing is the explanatory language, you know, and you can do your will on that. You know, if this should pass and somebody wants to bring explanatory language back, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I think the legislator from District 52 made some pretty compelling arguments that it should probably be in there. And the third thing is the repealer. And what we're dealing with here is the repealer. Should that repealer come now, or should it come until after the study is been completed? And this study will, you know, be back here next year, and we can, you know, if its suggestion is that that should be repealed, we should do it then. But a lot of interested parties with this bill that are for it think that we're kind of getting the cart ahead of the horse if we repeal now and don't do this and do the study later. They think it should be the other way around. Thank you very much.
For first time, Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I do believe that the good gentleman just spoke, and he called it a repealer. I'll be blunt. The words eliminating cost of living increases is where most of the angst is coming from. And I agree with him. This probably should not be that type of language in here at this time. Do the study, come back, and look at it like this. But to put this in this bill, this is where the real heartburn is coming from everybody.
Representative Escobel, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to address a couple of the issues from my fellow JAC members, that the amendment ought to give you a little bit more comfort, because the board can't make those recommendations to the legislature until those funds reach 100%. So the 80%, those issues, those are all already gone if you pass this amendment. Number two, the findings. Point out JAC has five new members on it this term. So that's almost half of JAC. We always get these reports from the retirement board. Findings are there. Legislature gets those reports. The ultimate decision on a COLA is in the hands of the legislature. The board makes the recommendation. JAC looks at the fund, looks at our general fund, looks at the rest of the budget, and makes the ultimate determination whether or not we're going to come to you in this body for a vote of the 60 members of the House and the 30 members of the Senate. That's where the ultimate decision lies if a COLA is granted. This bill circumvents all that. It just puts it in our laps from the get-go. So, just like I said yesterday, we're a citizens' legislature. I don't feel comfortable making those decisions. I don't think you should either. This amendment actually makes us a better bill.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a question. I'm confused with the findings part, because I'm okay with findings normally. And all these are fine. They go through, and it helps you understand sort of where they're going and why they're making these decisions. Where I get confused is when I get over to page 11, and then there's actual statements, and I'm not sure if that's the new law or these are just wishful thinking. I mean, if that's going to be the law, then they need to be pulled out of findings and made law. I mean, it says here that, you know, you have to get to 120%. Normally, you can just ignore findings because they carry no weight of law. But it almost looks like there was an intention that that would be the law. And then this whole part over here on page 12 that talks about what will be considered all appears to be the intention was that that would be what was considered. But if it's in findings, then it just, you know, that just gets ignored. So I'm just curious why that was put in findings and why that just wasn't placed into the bill as part of the law. I'm just confused over the last two, I guess. So it's 13 and 14. Those two findings, finding 13 and finding 14. If someone could maybe explain that, that'd be great.
Representative Pedersen, for your first time.
Mr. Speaker, I'll try to answer some of these questions and go over a few of the pieces with you within the bill. I think it's important that we don't obviously eliminate those findings. And we had, when we looked at this and we had a good representative from House District 52 talk about those, it was because what we're trying to create is long-term institutional knowledge about what got us to where we are. And she alluded to that. And what happened is, truly, we're in testimony. And we asked, because we have new actuaries than we did when we made these decisions. And we said, so why, when we were dropping from 114 and 100 down to below 8, down below 90 into the 80s, why were we still doing all of these recommendations to do all of these different colas? And the flat answer was, well, you weren't asking the right questions. So we were asking questions as to, would the fund still be actuarially sound? And we talked about that yesterday, and we talked about it again. Actuarially sound is that 70% line, and we will still be actuarially sound. Will it be above 70%? Or would we be declining? The answer is yes, but we're still above 70. So in that case, we're still able to currently not put us into a point of panic where you have to have conversations about cutting benefits. So they answered the question, would you still be actuarially sound? Would we be decreasing our funded ratio? Would we be able to sustain this over many years was not asked. And I guess it's we asked the wrong questions. And so the point of putting it in there and the point of having all of those all of that group together and putting it in one section is so that we could say, okay, this is the findings, this is what we found are the questions that are supposed to be asked as we move forward. And this bill does a very good job, or this amendment has a very good piece in it that we talked about yesterday. And it tries to break it out in a good way, and that's that funded ratio. Because remember, this bill covers a lot of different plans, and there are different pieces. And I said about it with the firefighters, A and B, law enforcement, judiciary. These are different. They're different funding ratios, different retirement pieces. But if you don't like that, knock the our amendment to take it down to 105, knock it down to 100. That isn't the most important part of the bill. The most important part of the bill, in my mind, is twofold. One is it recognizing that we need to keep those findings in there so that we can have future bodies and future members of JAC and future members of this body and future members of the body across the hall aware of what drove us to where we were, what caused us to go, because it wasn't just market, it was us giving COLAs in a system that's not designed to. 11.25% contribution rate is not a long-term sustainable rate for COLAs. 18 and 17 is. That's what our surrounding states have. And when you looked in there, you had a piece that said that was a part of this was a advise part of this amendment takes away subsection B on page 14, advise that no future cost of living increases or benefit increases are incorporated into the plans as constructed, meaning that the current construction of the plan cannot have a built-in COLA until we start to address how we're going to do this. And, you know, I admit, maybe broken is the wrong, is not a good term. Plan's not broken. We're still actuarially sound. Are we declining? Yeah, you saw the illustrations. You saw this. But if this is not a problem, then why has the retirement board come to us two times in a row and looked at all these different states and said, hey, we're decreasing our funding ratio, we need help. And the first time we did it, we increased the contribution rate by 2.87%. And what we've already done is, remember how we talked about this is going to put taxpayers on the hook if this thing goes down? We already did it. You put 1.43% of individual employees' paychecks into this, but you put 1.44%, which is taxpayer dollars at $20 million a year in, not to increase benefits, just to keep the promises that we already made. So we've already now got a buy-in of an increase of taxpayer liability into this. We already did it because we saw this was declining. And so what we're saying now is we want to make sure that we build a properly constructed plan going forward if we're going to have a guaranteed COLA. And we need to put in some language or reconstruct or figure out if we're going to put in general funds or if we're going to do all these different pieces. But if you come and you're saying that there isn't a problem, there's been over 2 years of interim study that says that there is. And different bills, there's one later today that was the advisement of the board that says, hey, we got a problem. This is our idea of how you should fix it. And how you feel about that is how you feel about that. But if they issue that as a problem, and there was a problem the year before and we increased 2.87%, clearly we need to address this. And this is part of an overall fix. This is what we're going to do. If you look at all of the liabilities, we talk about $250 million is what we owe for landfills that are currently leaking and about under $1 billion of deferred maintenance. But your largest contingent liability, the single largest contingent liability you have, is to pay out these benefits, which are somewhere, but if you're, and I know that there's a finance on this, that the argument is that maybe the Wyoming retirement system says that it's a billion, and if you're in church and you're sitting on a long bench, that begins with a P. Well, there's a study that has that's made by a group that's named that says it's 1.4 billion. And I don't know if it's 1 billion or 1.4 billion, but it's your largest liability. It's the largest thing you vote on, and it's going to be your largest moral liability. Because I remind you, 9-3-428 in subsection 2 in that says that, or Romanet 2 says, nothing is an obligation to the state. And that's what leaves you wide open to be the cheese state, you know, to start cutting these beneficiaries, these benefits to all of these people that you've made a promise to, who are then 80 years old and been out of work for 20 years. It's not like they were in school. It's not like it's highly marketable. It's not like it's easy to go back and get a job. And this is part of the fix. We have an issue and we need to fix it. And this is part of it. And later on the bill today, we'll fix it. We'll repair it a little bit more on third reading. And this bill repairs a little bit more. And we figure out a way where we can become actuarially sound and start building in COLAs on an annual basis. But until we do that, you still start leaving this wide open. And you need a checks and balances system. There's a large contingency out there that will heavily lobby the board of the retirement system to continue with this. Well, now you've got multiple layers. The Wyoming retirement system, the governor, you saw that in the language there in the legislature, where people can say, are we making the correct mathematical decision? Because there's 35,000 people who this affects. And it is important that we set this up and make the right decision with the right oversight and keep the findings in. If you're still uncomfortable with the 105, then go 100, because that's not the important part of the bill. The important part of the bill is that we map what we've done and we provide more oversight. I think that's the most important part of what we're going to do here. So I'd encourage you to be against the amendment for the bill.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to divide the amendment. For the first division, I'd like that to be consist of line 8 and lines 14 through 16. Division 2 would be all the rest, so therefore lines 1 through 7, 9 through 13, 17 to the end of the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, stand by 1 second. It appears to be divisible, and what I would suggest, line 8 would be a part of Division 1, and lines 14 through 17 would also be Division 1, and then Division 2 would be all the rest. So line 8 and lines 14 through 17 would be Division 1. All the rest would be Division 2?
That is correct, Mr. Speaker.
All right. Please proceed with Division 1.
For Division 1, brothers and sisters, I think from the debate we have had, it's imperative we leave the findings in. So my intent with Division 1 is to leave the findings in the bill. And I'll stand for any questions. I'd ask you to vote no.
Chairman Elway, first time on Division 1.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, the good lady from the northeast part of the state said, well, you couldn't find some of these things. They wouldn't be in the statute books and so forth. Gee whiz, you found a whole bunch of stuff on what's happened throughout time since 1994. I don't think findings are necessary. The retirement board has a history of everything. Anytime you want to call them, they'll tell you exactly where things are and what the retirement system has been doing. That's how you ended up with some of this, the history that you have now. You ask the retirement board. They present a report to JAC, and I have just a slight copy, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but it's called a report to the JAC, Wyoming Retirement System, September 9, 2011. I don't think you need the findings. They're going to give you everything they want. So on and against that division.
On Division 1, Chairman Brown, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the division, I think the findings need to remain in there. Sure, you can go review multiple sources, do historical research, paw around in the state library and the legislative records, and you may eventually get there, and you may eventually pull it together. But even then, there's not going to be an assurance that that's what the legislature was thinking about when they made the change they made. And so that's the purpose of findings, is to say, here's a compilation of the information that we had before us at this time, and this is the information upon which we made our decision, and you don't need to go paw through obscure records, which you may or may not find, and speculate about what we were or were not taking into consideration when we did it. So I would urge you to vote against Division 1.
Chairman Berger, first time Division 1.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment, Division 1. The reason the findings are in there is that it's taken us over 2 years in JAC to have the Wyoming retirement system, that they finally had a home to come and report to us, that we were able to gather the information. And it's all been stated by many of my fellow members on JAC for the reasons why we need to do this. But, you know, at the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is to protect the Wyoming retirement system for future years. So please vote against Division 1.
Representative Stewart, first time Division 1.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against Division 1. Ladies and gentlemen, just look at the first finding on page 2, where it starts on line 5. The Wyoming plans were not intended to and cannot support cost of living or other benefit increases. I'm reminded not only once but twice in testimony in JAC by the director of our retirement plan. This is almost an exact quote from him. Of course, how should the Joint Appropriations Committee react to that? We listened to him and said, you know, we hear you, and we should react to that. And believe me, these findings are a result of a collaborative process with our retirement board and the director of our retirement plan. And he didn't approach us and make these statements and say, you know, very strong statements, and then say, well, we need to study this. They were fairly convinced with this first finding, and I would say that it's significant enough to leave in this bill. Again, on and against Division 1.
Representative Escobar, for your first time, Division 1.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking against, just talking about findings, you've got a 10-page report here that you can read, or you can dig through here to find it. For me, I'm not an attorney. It's easier for findings in the report. You know, to me, it's the body's will, but that's what's kind of what you're looking at here. So,
Division 1, first time, second time. Do you want a first time? Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm curious if in the writing of the bill and the measure before the amendment, were the findings intended to be the outline for the evaluation of the defined benefit program 10 years from now? Will that be the same formula that is expected to be applicable for years to come? Is that the intent of the findings? If so, it's a little bit different than what the legislature has done in the past, but I'm just curious if that was part of the intent.
Anyone else for their first time on Division 1? First time? Second time? Second time prior to the... Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll just take a stab at that last question and say that these findings are in direct consideration of the existing plan as it exists today and how we are looking at making that solvent, actuarially sound, and sustainable into the long-term future. It really doesn't have anything to do with how we might change or do things different in the future. This is about this plan, making it sound.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I ask for your no vote on Division 1.
Okay, just to clarify in case there's any confusion, on Division 1, if you vote no, the findings will stay in. If you vote aye, the findings go out. So, we are on Division 1 of Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 59. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. Division 1 of Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 59 has failed. We're on Division 2. For the first time, Division 2, Representative Green.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I'd just like to continue the debate on Division 2. I'm not asking for your aye or no vote. I just want to make sure the findings are in there.
And just for everybody's clarifications, once we divided the amendment, you'll all get a first and second time on each of these divisions. So even though you've already spoken, you can come up for a first time again and a second if you go for a first on Division 2. Chairman Oway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With your indulgence, let me read you just a few lines out of the JAC report, September 9, 2011. Wyoming Retirement System is moving forward with developing a self-funded COLA payout option through a reduced benefit which employees can elect at retirement. This will be made available in the fall of 2013 when the Wyoming Retirement System's new pension administration system, which has been named Retirement Administration and Investment Network, or RAIN, goes live. While it may not be feasible for most employees to take a reduced benefit in exchange for future increases, it may be a solution for some with higher benefits or with long life expectancies. This can be done administratively and without actuarial impact. I urge the adoption of Amendment 2.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Pedersen.
I urge you to resist Amendment 2. I think that there's a cleanup way on 3 if you like the 100 instead of the 105. Change it in two sections of the bill on two different pages. But what you're also taking out of here is the big part of this is the second most, you know, big thing. We talked about two things in here. One was the ability to educate future legislators and legislators on what has happened in the past so they can make the correct decisions in the future. And now, if you vote for this, you will eliminate the opportunity for them to have feedback. So what we're creating is three levels of oversight with this. And this amendment removes that because you already, within the standing committee amendment, you have the Wyoming Retirement System going to come through with their good people, their good work, and all of their product and make a recommendation for a COLA or not, either way. And then the governor and the legislature will have the insight on that and be able to make those decisions. And that's why we need to protect what we've done through 2 years of interim work. This is part of the overall fix. If you want to keep the system alive and you want to keep our moral obligation to these folks, then this is part of that. This is part of the solution to help with the rest of this, and also to make sure that underneath all of these sections, we can come through and come up with a piece that helps to construct the plan in a way that can provide these over long term. And so I'd urge you to resist Division 2.
Chairman McComey, first time, Division 2.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I kept going back through the bill and back through the bill and back through the amendment, and I still have a problem. And the problem is this, and I didn't see it in the findings. Much of the problem that we're facing right now was created by this body when we increased the salaries for education, and it rolled downhill, and then we had the boom, and in order to keep state employees employed, we were increasing salaries there, and we didn't recognize that we had 40% of our labor force that was eligible for retirement, or going to be eligible for retirement in 3 years. So when we do those types of things as a legislature, we need something here to recognize the impact it will have on the retirement system. And when we brought those plans, we should have brought some money at the time that we did it to bolster the plan, because these people and the bill we're going to have on third reading will help with this, because it broadens this out to a five-year scope of what your retirement is based upon. But right now, it's based upon 3 years of your highest 36 consecutive months' salary. And when we gave these $10,000 or more increases in the salaries, we impacted this plan negatively and didn't start putting money in it for 3 years before we started taking some money from the education fund or the foundation and bolstering this plan. So we as legislators did not recognize this ourselves. And we need something to make us aware of these types of circumstances. We can talk about the bill, and we've sat up here and kind of cast a bad, you know, cast a shadow over the retirement board and some of the things they did in the past. They probably should have been there to come to us and say, this could cause a problem. I went to the retirement board and asked them to go to the board, to the appropriations, and tell them that. And I don't know if they ever did it. I don't think they did. Because they were actuarially sound, because of the 80 that's been talked about, or the 70 that's been talked about. So I just wanted to say that we sitting here in this body also have to recognize sometimes some of the things we do has that type of an impact. And I'm on for the amendment.
Representative Freeman, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm also in the Wyoming retirement system, and I'm glad that I'm there. When I was listening to the speaker two times before me, he made the point that we weren't asking the right questions in the past, and I think we're asking the right questions now. What it says is there will be no COLAs unless there's 100%, and I'm very fiscally conservative on my, always have been, scared to be poor, I guess. And 100% is much more than the 70% that you say that you have to be to have a sustainable pension. The second thing that I think that's important is the question says that you can't give a COLA unless, if you give a COLA, it's sustainable. So that means that we're going to probably try to stay around 100%. And even though the other bill that we had before was 105, my guess is you're going to probably have to hit 105 so that you can keep the fund going forward. I like the idea that nobody can act unilaterally. The board has to come up and say, this is what we want to give for a COLA. It has to be approved by the governor the way that I understand it, and the legislature. So no one person is going to be making decisions that could cause the fund to go by. I think that the original bill does, to a certain extent, micromanage. And the last speaker said that this body, I wasn't part of it, and I don't know the history of it, but I'll take him as his word, made some bad decisions. I think what the amendment comes up in my mind is that we spread it out we maintain our partnership with our retirees, and I urge you to support the amendment. Thank you.
Anyone for their first time on Division 2? Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Once again, it's, you know, some of these plans are at 112. I think Fireman B is up there. So at the 105, which we have on this floor, is good. But once again, I just want to say again, it's been a long debate. I just think if we want this plan and we value it, this is part of the fix. And, you know, if we defeat it, I guess the sun will still come up tomorrow, but the days will be numbered for this plan, in my opinion. And watching this and studying it, we need to get a hold of it. I, for one, as a person who's still in the system, ready to pay increased contribution, and there, I think folks are, to do whatever it takes. And that'll be an issue that comes out in the study. But this structural, this is part of the change. And so urge you no on this division, again, for the bill.
Anyone else for the first time on Division 2? First time. Second time on Division 2. Second time. All those in favor of Division number 2 on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 59, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Division 2 to second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 59 has failed. All those in favor of Division 2 to the amendment, please stand. Division 2 has failed. Senate File 59, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Representative Kraft.
Thank you so much, Mr. Speaker. Could I have a privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
Thought it was maybe time for a little mid-morning stretch. One of my very favorite schools in my district is the one that's the furthest away from me. But that's nothing. That distance is nothing compared to how far they came down to see you this morning. So would you please welcome Aaron Edwards' class from Desert Middle School in Wamsutter, Wyoming.
Welcome to the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 65.
Senate File 65, introduced by Senator Anderson, an act relating to the Department of Agriculture Applied Agricultural Research Funding Program.
Representative Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 65. With this, 65. Oh, I'm sorry, Senate File 65. This amendment just replaces the word shall. It had been amended with the word may, and we felt that this was a little too open-ended. We believe that the other parties that need to be included, and they need the information to be included in the ag research findings, and that's the amendment. So I'd ask for your yes vote.
Your first time, Chairman Simlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This puts the bill back in the original language that it was when it was first brought to us. It refers to five items underneath the process of soliciting and bringing applications. It's certainly provides some clear direction as to what will be considered or consulted, and I believe it will be fine, and ask you to adopt the amendment.
Representative Wanitzer, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just because this was an amendment that I put on in committee, I figured I'd explain my rationale. And basically what we're doing now, I changed from shall to may, that list of seven different sections of what they had to agree to. And basically my thinking was, and it's a policy question for the body, if it's May, they don't officially have to consult with the producers and the nonprofit organizations and the trade groups. If it's a shall, they do. And so my thinking was, if I was a small agricultural producer and I just wanted to do, you know, a $2,000 project and didn't want the world to know in case it accidentally failed, the research didn't go where I wanted it to, and I didn't want the entire state knowing my business, I figured May was a better term for that. So that's why I brought it in committee. Shall does, you know, open it up that you have to have the nonprofit organizations and the producers, you know, at the table, and they're looking at this. In my mind, I thought just the Board of Ag and the Director of Ag and the staff of that agency, you know, could oversee these grants without having to go shop them around the rest of the ag community. So, policy isn't for the body. I'm not really sure which way I care if it goes, but that was at least my rationale of doing it.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I too rise in support of this amendment. I like the fact that we're giving some clear direction where this program is concerned. The May, in my estimation, if you change it to May, we have no say really in the end about how these the criteria by which these applications are considered, and that was a concern of mine. So I'm glad the sponsor brought the amendment, and I'm on it in favor.
Anyone else for the first time, second time? All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 65, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 65 has been adopted. Senate File 65, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 68.
Senate File 68, introduced by Senator Langdon. An act relating to veterans' educational benefits, time limits for veteran and dependent tuition fees.
Senate File 68, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 71.
Senate File 71, introduced by Senator Christensen. An act relating to aquatic invasive species.
Senate File 71, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 75.
Senate File 75, introduced by Senator Driscoll, an act relating to business-ready community grants.
Senate File 75, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 77.
Senate File 77, introduced by Senator Case, an act relating to the administration of government, expenditure of public funds, and government competition.
Senate File 77, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 79.
Senate File 79, introduced by Senator Hicks, an act relating to the Wildlife Trust Challenge Account Extension.
Senate File 79, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 87.
Senate File 87, introduced by Senator Meyer, an act relating to State Employees Compensation Commission membership.
And Senate File 87, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 89.
Senate File 89, introduced by Senator Hines, an act relating to game and fish regarding pioneer hunting licenses.
And Senate File 89, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 90.
Senate File 90, introduced by Senator Cole, an act relating to school finance.
Senate File 90, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 94.
Senate File 94, introduced by Senator Anderson, an act relating to court-ordered placement of children.
Senate File 94, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 107.
Senate File 107, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act relating to administration of government public works contracts.
Senate File 107 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. With that order of business, bills on third reading and final passage, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move a consent list consisting of the following bills, Senate File 18, 24, 34, 42, 49, 78, 82, 83, and 99.
Does anyone wish to have any of the bills removed from the consent list? The reading clerk will read the bills.
Senate File 18, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to reimbursement for livestock being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 24, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to civil procedure property exempt from execution being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 34, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to administration of government regarding Medicaid options study being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 42, introduced by the Select Natural Resource Funding, an act relating to Wyoming Wildlife Large Project Funding, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 49, introduced by Senator Emmerich, an act relating to the term for Youth Board of Agriculture members, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 78, introduced by Senator Johnson, an act relating to education, interstate compact on students of military families, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 82, introduced by Senator Burns, an act relating to banks and banking regarding ATM fees, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 83, introduced by Senator Coe, an act relating to regulation and taxation of tobacco regarding cigarette manufacturing, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 99, introduced by Senator Nicholas, an act relating to children regarding the Guardian Ad Litem Program, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell. Kennedy,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles excused, Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller excused, Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlek,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Cheaters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Braunisch,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 18, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 24, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 34, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 42, are there any changes? Simlek, aye to no. Eklund, aye to no. Croker, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Korberg, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Yagi, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Mr. Speaker, aye to no. Vronish, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 44 aye, 14 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 49, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 78, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 82, are there any changes? Vronish, aye to no. Barbuto, aye to no. Blake, aye to no. Byrd, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Esquivel, aye to no. Kraft, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dan, I think, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 7 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 83, are there any changes? Croker, aye to no. Byrd, aye to no. Roscoe, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Pedersen, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Lockhart, aye to no. Reeder, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Hunt, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Are there any further changes? The vote is closed. 46 aye, 12 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 99, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Files 18, 24, 34, 42, 49, 78, 82, 83, and 99 have passed the House. Let that order of business bills on Representative Wanitzer.
Can I get a privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the 61st, 20 and a half years ago, I met an outstanding woman. I think we shared 7th grade home ec together, and I couldn't cook back then either. But today she's now a teacher here in Cheyenne, and she's brought her class from the Noah Webster Christian School. So please welcome Ms. Schick and Noah Webster Christian School up in the North Gallery.
Welcome to the House, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, when we get into bills on third reading, I have an amendment to move.
We're at that order of business. Bills on third reading and final passage, regular list. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 52.
Senate File 52, introduced by Senator Rathfuss. An act relating to reading assessment regarding dyslexia screening and response. Bill enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill or Senate File 52, and I will remove or withdraw the amendment at the appropriate time. I told the prime sponsor of this bill that if I really disliked the bill, there were other means at my disposal to make it go away. I just kind of dislike it. And wanted to discuss it with you a little bit because I'm not opposed to the concept, but I am opposed to the unfunded mandates in the concept. And I've received lots of correspondence from folks in my district, lots of constituents, and my sister. But I do want you to look at the bill's mandates and at the fiscal note. First of all, let's talk about dyslexia. In many cases, dyslexia is a medical issue caused by brain dysfunction, inner ear problem, or other physical problems, and insurance in most cases won't pay for the testing. Dyslexia is one of 13 disability categories as defined by IDEA. And so this would fall under general education and probably Title 504. Texas has similar legislation, and in many districts they have special education directors as well as dyslexia directors. Testing for dyslexia, because it is a brain dysfunction, includes psychological, vision, hearing, and neurological tests. Testing for dyslexia diagnosis because of inner ear imbalance includes the same test along with audiology tests and an ENG. So look at what the bill does. If you look at the bottom of the page, it said the Board of Trustees in each school district shall. And then you turn it to the second page, and it says implement and administer reading screening, and then it says an intervention. Well, if insurance isn't going to pay for it, and the school district is, what are the interventions, and how much do they cost, and what is the role of school districts in treating medical conditions? And then it says, in addition to that, we need to identify a standardized assessment instruments utilized to identify dyslexia and other reading difficulties down upon the page, and then have a multi-tiered assessment and intervention. And then on the next page, we add a whole series of regulations to do that. And so I know enough about schools to know that every time you do an evaluation, you have to have a report, and you have to pay somebody to have a report, because you can't have an evaluation without having a report. And you can't have a report unless it complies with the regulations. And so then you've got a whole series of regulations. And then you look at the fiscal note, and it says, well, we have some administrative impact here, but we sure don't know what it is. I guess you can stand up and say there's enough funding in the model to take care of it, but I just want us to think about becoming all things to all people and adding another entitlement coming in the back door through the school district.
For first time, Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on in support of the bill. Members of the body, if this was a bad piece of legislation, it would not be on the floor. I can guarantee you that. I am very critical about these sorts of programs. This is a screening bill, not a diagnosis bill. It's important that we are able to catch these folks through the screening process. If we don't, we reimburse special education at 100%. It's extremely costly if we don't have early intervention for dyslexia. I was convinced by the testimony. I think it makes good sense, and I would urge you to vote aye on the bill.
For the first time, Ms. Minority Whip. Oh, Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll answer to both, either. I hate to share personal family anecdotes on the floor, but based on what the good majority floor leader said, I really have to. I think it costs more, speaking from personal experience, when you don't diagnose these things at the appropriate time. In my family's case, and that's all I'll say, something was missed in elementary school. It wasn't caught until eighth grade. Insurance paid for it, but oh, life would have been so much better if it had been caught in elementary school. And interventions were done in elementary school, but there was no proper screening. So that's my response to the debate so far. Thank you.
Representative Kraft, for your first time.
Thank you so much, Mr. Speaker. I'm rising on and against the amendment and for the bill. And when I first got that bill, I looked at it and thought I was opposed to it because I thought it was a duplication of effort. Because in my school district, both of my school districts actually, we do an early literacy intervention program. So I thought, well, we don't need this. But then I found out how many districts don't do it and how many kids don't get the advantage of that early intervention and that early remediation at the exact moment in time when they need it. The earlier, the better. This really is a screening bill. It's not a diagnostic bill, and I would strongly urge your support of the bill. Thank you.
First time, Chairman Noway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, I just happen to be across the hall on the west side of the building in the committee where this was discussed. It was a very compelling testimony. And what I learned, and I've known some folks that are dyslexic, were they screened? Were it early screening? They could have been helped. It is so important that at least screening the families get to know, the school gets to know, and the kids get to know. Because by the time you're trying to go to college and you have dyslexia, it is a tough, tough situation. And it is very expensive. It's a very compelling to listen to folks that have either had dyslexia or that they have been teachers that will say, had we known, had we been able to put these kids into specific areas, we could have helped. And my understanding from listening to the testimony is that in some cases it's an eye function. In some cases it's other functions. But screening is important on and against the amendment.
Representative Connolly, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment and for the bill. As previous speakers have talked about, this is a bill that talks about pre-screening. We're already doing, if you see on page 2, that we have screening program measure, reading progress measures that are mandatory. That what this bill is doing is adding just an additional element to what's already in existence, that there's pre-screening for dyslexia and other reading difficulties as soon as possible. It is not necessarily an unfunded mandate. In fact, what it does is just increase or add some specificity to the mandate that's already there. And I do understand that some districts are doing it and doing it well. What this does is assure that all districts do it. And part of that compelling testimony that we heard in House Education was from one school district administrator who basically said, thank you. We absolutely need to be doing it, and acknowledge that in her district they weren't doing it well and they weren't doing it well enough. And then there was the acknowledgement about the possibility for these multi-tiered interventions that are relatively easy, but that we haven't known about until very recently, that may help many kids. I mean, and it's fascinating, and again, not to share too many personal stories, but as a mother of a child who fit into this diagnosis 20 years ago, but it was considered so out there, and the interventions that we did that made such a difference, that seemed trivial, but things that these parents talked about as testimony about having balls hanging from the ceiling and being able to hit them with your left hand and your right hand, and how that triggers the brain in ways that were unknown, that would actually help with reading, are now known. And those kind of interventions could really help not only a child kind of begin to read, but also would eliminate the need for many special ed services. And so that's what the desire is that early on, a relatively easy pre-screening instrument could be part of this kindergarten readiness or first grade reading readiness. And if we find that a child is having difficulties, that elementary schools can start having approaches to help the kids. It's as simple as that. And that's what this bill does, is put in that pre-screening that could help. If some of the heartburn is about what this pre-screening is, first, we took out the language you'll see in the standing committee regarding kind of standardized assessments and interventions, acknowledging that special ed teachers do have a variety of techniques that could be implemented and that they need to be part of it. And then the Committee of the Whole Amendment made sure that this assessment instrument takes into account what special educators know. So again, on and against the amendment and in favor of the bill. Thank you.
Chairman Childers, for your first time.
Well, Mr. Speaker, on and for the bill and against the amendment, having personal experience with this issue, over 30 years ago, my middle son had a problem in school. We couldn't find out through the school, but I did find out through a doctor, and he was diagnosed with near dyslexia, just almost dyslexia, but still it was an issue that needed treatment. And the reason that I think we need the screening, the principal of the school absolutely refused to admit that any of her elementary school students had a problem. It took a meeting with the superintendent of the school and this principal and one of the teachers. But it was made quite clear at that point, since the other state that I lived in, that these issues should at least be screened, and if they're diagnosed, at least recognize the problems that the children have. My son came out okay with the issue. He still has some problems, but not much. But in an elementary situation like that, with somebody that refuses to recognize problems, that's not right. We at least need a screening bill, and that's what this is. I'll name for the bill.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I decided it was about darn time that I spoke on an issue that didn't have energy or business development in it, and so I've chosen this one with a very personal reason. We had a granddaughter not in the Wyoming school system, was struggling in school, and finally they found out there was some dyslexia in it, and she got through that, and all of a sudden she's a great student and that kind of thing. And the issue is that if we can help we can find these things early on, the kids benefit so much better. This granddaughter gets about a book a month in English. She lives in Norway from her mother or grandmother because she's such an ardent reader now that they figured out what her problem was, and it's going from self-concern about I can't do what the other kids can do to this kind of leading edge. It was because of the discovery that she had dyslexia. So against the amendment and for the bill.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The arguments are compelling, and dyslexia is real and has consequences, but I ask you this. Is it the role of our schools to pay for those interventions? And this is an intervention bill. That's what it says on the top of the second page. Vote your conscience, but the clear language of the bill says that the state of Wyoming pays for those interventions. With that, Mr. Speaker, I withdraw my amendment at this time.
Amendment having been withdrawn, Senate File 52, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
No.
Brechtel. Brown, Burkhart, Bird, Campbell, Kennedy, Childers, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Edmonds, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles excused, Greer, Green, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Illaway, Yagi, Kasparic, Croker, Crone, Lockhart, Laux, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller excused, Moniz, Nicholas, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Petroff, Korberg, Reeder, Roscoe, Simlick, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Throne, Bronish, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan, Swanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 42 ayes, 16 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 52, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 52 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House stand in recess until 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The House will stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number four, Education, will do some interim topics at 12:15 if you'd like to join us.
Chairman Noe.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number seven, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet at noon in the House 18, which is where we always meet, with the like committee from down the hall to consider interim topics.
Chairman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Judiciary Committee number one will meet at 8:30 tomorrow morning in a joint session with our counterparts down the hall for consideration of interim topics. And the Conference Committee on Public Records, Senate File 25, will meet immediately after that meeting in the Senate Judiciary Room.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet today upon adjournment in room 302 with our light committee from the other end of the hall to talk about our interim topics.
Chairman Corbett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet today, 15 minutes after adjournment in room H17. And we will meet with our counterparts down the hall to finalize interim topics. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Conference Committee for Senate File 40 will meet at 1:30 p.m. today at room 202.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, as the Transportation Chairman said, ditto. 15 minutes after noon recess for the Revenue Committee.